Hello there, everyone. I'm Dr. Leslie Kernison, board-certified geriatrician and the founder of the website betterhealthwhileaging.net. And this is the Better Health While Aging video podcast, where we discuss common health problems that affect people over age 60 and the best ways to prevent and manage those problems. In today's episode, I am going to talk about a type of medication that many older adults take, which is over-the-counter painkillers. So the kinds of things that you can get for pain at the drugstore without a prescription. And because these are so commonly used, I want to help you understand the most common options that are available so that you can be better informed if you want to take something that you get without a prescription for pain or for discomforts. And so specifically, I found that most of the time people are taking either Tylenol, also known as acetaminophen, or they are taking something like ibuprofen or naproxen, brand names Advil and Aleve. So that's part of what I'm going to cover in depth in this video. I'm going to tell you what you should know about acetaminophen in older adults. And then I'm going to talk about what's really important to know about ibuprofen and naproxen. Brand names Advil and Naproxen, and other painkillers that are in that same class, because they're all in the same class together. They are in a group known as NSAIDs, which stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So I'm going to talk about those, really important for older adults to know about those. I'm going to talk about how these medications affect the liver and kidneys. If you've heard that they affect liver and kidneys, that is right, and I'm going to explain to you exactly how that works. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about aspirin. Used to be very popular as a painkiller, not quite as popular as a painkiller, but still something that sometimes older adults take and, of course, is available at the drugstore. And through all this, I'm going to tell you what I think is the safest painkiller in general and why. I'm going to briefly touch on some other over-the-counter options to consider, and I'm going to finish with some tips on safer use of over-the-counter painkillers. So we're going to get into that. But before I get started, I have a very quick request, which is if you're here and you find this topic interesting, or if you've been finding my video podcast interesting, if you haven't subscribed yet, could you please go ahead and subscribe? It would mean a lot to me. It does help me out. It helps other people find the channel when you subscribe, and it helps support the work that I am doing. Now, back to the topic for today. So let's start with acetaminophen, also often referred to as Tylenol. What should you know about that? So actually, outside the United States, it is also known as paracetamol, and it is effective at reducing fever and also does relieve pain somewhat. The mechanism of action seems to mostly work within the brain. The mechanism of action for the other drugs is more throughout the body. And what you should know about acetaminophen is that it's actually generally quite safe. It's one of the safer medications we have for older adults, provided that you don't exceed daily doses of more than 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams per day. Let's see. So at low safe doses, acetaminophen tends to be very, very safe for older adults. Now, the FDA actually has a higher recommended maximum dose. That's 4,000 milligrams a day. And most experts agree that that's fine for a day or two here and there. But if you're going to take it every day for an ongoing pain, and lots of older people do have an ongoing ache or pain due to arthritis or another kind of similar condition, it's probably better to have a lower daily dose, probably something more like 3,000 milligrams per day, or maybe a little bit less. And so that's what experts agree on. And the reason for this is that the safety of acetaminophen is related to liver function. So basically, your liver has to metabolize and process that acetaminophen. So this can go wrong in one of two ways. One possibility is that on a given day, somebody takes really a lot of acetaminophen. I mean, way more than 4,000 milligrams. Like a whole bottle, for instance, you know, perhaps if somebody is either very confused or maybe trying to harm themselves. That can be so much acetaminophen in the system that the liver can go into liver failure, actually, pretty quickly. So that can be a medical emergency. And that doesn't happen very often, I find, among older adults. What's more common among older adults and people in general is that if they take a higher dose day after day after day, that's kind of tiring for the liver, and it starts to kind of show signs of strain. So your liver enzymes might start to go up, and especially if you are on other medications that require liver processing, or if you have any kind of disease or condition that affects your liver, such as alcohol abuse or chronic liver disease, then you can more easily get into trouble with that amount of acetaminophen. So that's basically the deal with acetaminophen and safety. And that's why if somebody has a known liver condition, we generally want to aim for a lower daily dose, like 2,000 milligrams per day. If we think their liver is fine, then 3,000 milligrams a day is probably okay. So again, other than that liver impact at higher doses, there are not a lot of serious side effects, and it tends to not have a lot of significant interactions with other medications. Now, you still want to be careful. So one thing that comes up a lot is that people may not realize that acetaminophen is often included in a variety of other over-the-counter medications. So often these are medications that are kind of like a combo package for a certain type of symptom, like, you know, NyQuil for nighttime cough and cold symptoms, or Theraflu. If you look at the labels, these often include some acetaminophen, and acetaminophen is also included in some prescription medications, such as Vicodin or Percocet. Those are medications that combine an opiate with acetaminophen. So it's important to realize that it can be easy to take more daily acetaminophen than one might realize. So you always want to be looking at the drugs in question and finding out how many milligrams of acetaminophen is in each dose. Acetaminophen also tends to come in varying doses in terms of the strength of the pill when you buy it. Anything from 325 to, I forget what it is. I think sometimes occasionally there's even 750 or something. Now, next, how effective is acetaminophen? It does generally work well to reduce fever, but as a painkiller, a lot of people feel that the effect is just mild to moderate, and it's not uncommon for me to have patients who have pretty bad arthritis to tell me that they took it and they don't feel like it's providing a lot of relief. And that might be because it's not really an anti-inflammatory medication the way some of the other over-the-counter painkillers are. So let's now talk about those other available over-the-counter analgesics, specifically medications such as ibuprofen and naproxen. So again, these are part of a class that is called non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which we often say for short, NSAIDs. You know, that's the way we pronounce that acronym. So that includes medications such as ibuprofen, brand name Advil, Motrin, naproxen, brand name Aleve, Naprosyn, Anaprox. And also there are NSAIDs that are prescription only, such as meloxicam, indomethacin, diclofenac, celecoxib, and others. So NSAIDs do work as anti-inflammatories and often provide a good amount of pain relief. However, they are problematic, especially for older adults, because they cause side effects that are especially likely to become dangerous as people get older. And these are the side effects that they cause. And these are not idiosyncratic, it only affects a minority of people. These affect actually a significant number of people. NSAIDs, through their mechanism of action, also affect the factors in your body that prevent bleeding. So when people take NSAIDs, especially if they're taking it every day, it does increase the risk of bleeding. And we see bleeds in people's stomachs, small bowels, or colon. It also can irritate the stomach lining, which can cause, you know, pain in that area. NSAIDs also affect kidney function. They actually cause your blood vessels to constrict a little bit. And so that can decrease your kidney function and can also increase your blood pressure or make your blood pressure medications a little less effective. NSAIDs can also cause fluid retention. So they can cause worsening swelling of the legs or elsewhere in the body. And that can be an issue, especially in people who are prone to conditions such as heart failure, which are also associated with having too much fluid in the body. Last but not least, studies have found that taking NSAIDs is associated with a slightly higher risk of cardiovascular events, meaning heart attacks and strokes. So it's quite the list, and it's an important thing to know about because the older you are, the more likely it is that you can be affected by one of these known side effects of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, such as ibuprofen and naproxen. So again, NSAIDs do often effectively relieve pain. They do have anti-inflammatory components, and they can help a lot. However, daily use at recommended doses, even at recommended doses, can and does cause serious health impacts to older adults. And studies have estimated that every year there are 41,000 hospitalizations and a little over 3,000 deaths every year due to NSAIDs. And to share a true story, actually, from my own clinical practice, many years ago, I was working in a primary care clinic for older adults, and a man in his 70s transferred in to our clinic and became my patient. And as I was going over his medications during his first visit, he was on an NSAID every day that he'd been taking for a few months for his shoulder arthritis. It had been prescribed, I think, by orthopedics. And so I said, you know, that could be a little bit risky. It can be associated with bleeds. You know, would you be open to considering trying to come off of it? Is that something you discussed with your doctor? And he said, oh, no, they never told me that. And I think it helps me a lot. And I want to continue it. I said, okay. Well, it turned out that just a few weeks later, he was hospitalized for a bleed in his bowel, which they thought was related to his NSAIDs. And so he had to stop. So because of this reason, the American Geriatric Society does recommend that older adults avoid using oral non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs for the treatment of chronic persistent pain, such as arthritis pain. Now, when they make these recommendations, what they really say is you should avoid or use with caution. So there are certainly some circumstances when people have tried lots of other things, haven't been successful in treating their pain, find that it really makes a difference. What we want to do, though, is make this a carefully considered, informed decision, right? And not just do it without having looked into alternatives or maybe, you know, really considered the risks. Now, I want to say a brief word, which is that for a long time, NSAIDs were mostly available in oral form, also in IV form in the emergency room. But then several years ago, they became available in a topical form as well as a gel. The first one was called Voltaren, diclofenac. That is much safer to apply it on the skin. It does tend to get into the part of the body that's right under that part of the skin, and it has way fewer effects on the rest of the body. And a few years ago, a generic version of diclofenac gel became available over the counter. So that is an option to know about if you are looking for things in the drugstore, and it is safer than taking an oral NSAID every day. So now people sometimes want to know, well, which one is better, Tylenol or Advil? Or they might even be thinking of Aleve. And the answer is acetaminophen, Tylenol, is safer. It's generally acknowledged to be safer for older adults because, again, when it's taken at those recommended doses, even if you take it every day for months, we see very few serious side effects. But again, that's provided that the daily dose isn't too high. And so unless you have problems with your liver or, you know, use a lot of alcohol or on certain medications, you know, probably a dose of under 3,000 milligrams per day should be fine. Whereas NSAIDs, such as ibuprofen and naproxen, tend to be more effective pain relievers, but because of all those side effects, especially when they're used day after day after day, it's risky to use them daily for ongoing pain. And you want to be thinking of using them more for short-term purposes, maybe for a pain flare. If you really have to use them every day, you can talk with a doctor about something to protect the lining of the stomach, but that doesn't protect you from the other side effects that the body can experience. So generally, I would say occasional use is fine for older adults, but you want to be careful about using it every day. Let me now say a few words about aspirin, because every now and then I come across an older person who is still using aspirin for pain. Aspirin is actually a special kind of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, and it is more effective in acting on your platelets. These are little cells in the body that help your blood clot. So when people take aspirin, it reduces clots, and this helps reduce strokes and heart attacks. However, what you should know is that in medicine, we've moved beyond using aspirin just as a painkiller. Not really used for that purpose. I would turn instead to acetaminophen or maybe an NSAID, depending on the circumstance, especially if it's for short term, rather than aspirin. And the other important thing to know is that there was a time when a baby aspirin was recommended to people to prevent heart attacks and strokes. But that recommendation was changed several years ago. So it is no longer recommended for what is called primary prevention. Primary prevention means that you're trying to prevent, in this case, a heart attack or stroke in somebody who has never had it before. So if you have never had a heart attack or stroke and you are an older adult, it is no longer recommended to take a baby aspirin every day. And that is because the risk of bleeding was found to be substantially higher than the estimated probability that somebody would avoid a stroke or heart attack from taking the baby aspirin. So this was studied, for instance, in a study called the Oxford Vascular Study, where they found that in people who were aged 75 to 84, the annual risk of bleeding was estimated at 3.5%, whereas the chance that you're going to avoid a heart attack or stroke due to taking a baby aspirin every day is much lower than that. Now, you may know some people who are still being told to take a baby aspirin by their doctor to prevent heart attack or strokes. Normally, those are people who have already had a heart attack or a stroke, or who otherwise are thought to be at very high risk for having heart attacks and strokes. So right now, the guidelines do recommend an aspirin, often as part of the preventive package for what's called secondary prevention. So that's if you've had a heart attack or a stroke, that's actually a very strong risk factor for having a second one. And so we are more aggressive with medications to reduce the risk. But that's for secondary prevention, not for primary prevention. To come back to aspirin, if you or your older loved one like to take an occasional aspirin for a headache or something like that, that should be safe. I would just not be taking it often or every day unless you have talked to your health providers and made sure that you have health conditions that warrant that. Okay, so that's aspirin. So let's now talk about other over-the-counter options for pain. So there are a couple other things to keep in mind. So specifically, there are topical agents. So a topical agent means something that you apply to the skin. So it's often a cream or a gel. These actually can be effective, and they do have fewer side effects. So that's a great thing for older adults. There's just not as much of it that gets throughout in the body to cause side effects on other parts of the body or to interact with other medications you might be taking. So as I mentioned, there is a topical NSAID, diclofenac, which is now available over the counter. And then also at the drugstore, you'll often see that there are other pain-relieving creams. They can be things like Icy Hot. There are often other names. They usually include a combination of things. They might have menthol, which makes the skin kind of feel cooler. They often have salicylate, which is kind of related to aspirin. They might have capsaicin, which is actually related to the ingredients in chili peppers. That's because paradoxically creating like a slight irritation feeling on the skin sometimes reduces the actual pain signal. So those are some options that you can consider. And I would say do a little trial and error, see if that provides relief, and know that that can be safer, certainly, than taking an NSAID every day for months and months on end. Let me now share a few other tips on safe use of over-the-counter pain meds. One thing that I always tell people is that you want to be especially careful about the PM version of any over-the-counter painkillers. Lots of these medications come in a nighttime PM version. It's meant to help you sleep. But what you need to know is that the PM is almost always an anticholinergic medication such as diphenhydramine. Diphenhydramine is also called Benadryl. These are medications that make people sleepy, but they do that because they actually interfere with acetylcholine, a very important neurotransmitter in the brain that helps you with your memory and thinking. And anticholinergics are not recommended for aging brains, especially not like day after day after day. So you just want to be careful about that for anyone who's already having some memory problems, maybe has mild cognitive impairment or more. It can make their memory and thinking worse. So I always recommend that people be very careful about the PM version of pain medicines. I also want to encourage you to let your health provider know if you're having any ongoing pains. I see sometimes that older adults just kind of try to tough it out and manage an ongoing pain on their own through over-the-counters. And it's good to take action for yourself, but I would also encourage you to let your health provider know. You can get help identifying the underlying causes of pain. Maybe there's something going on there that we need to know about, or your health provider may be able to come up with some other options for you to treat and manage whatever is causing you the pain. Your provider also might be able to help you access certain treatments that could otherwise be helpful. Lastly, I want to encourage you to let your doctor or health provider know if you are taking any over-the-counter pain medicines. People sometimes assume that, well, if it's available over-the-counter, it's safe, it doesn't affect the rest of my healthcare, but that is not true. It's important for your health provider to be aware of it so that they can take that into account as they otherwise think about your health problems, your prescriptions, and how to support you with your health. And I would especially encourage you to let your provider know if you are using NSAIDs every day. Now, this is not available in your regular drugstore along with the acetaminophen and ibuprofen, but increasingly nowadays, people are able to buy cannabis products without a prescription, and I'm increasingly asked about this. So, briefly, what about cannabinoids? So there are increasing numbers of products that have either CBD or THC. These are two types of, you know, important ingredients in marijuana that are now becoming more available. So briefly, THC is the part that tends to give people more of a high feeling. CBD is another component that probably has actions on other parts of the brain and body. People often report that it can help with sleep or anxiety or pain or other symptoms. So these products are becoming more available, and I've had several people actually report to me that they're experiencing pain relief from them. However, what you should know is that mostly this is kind of a new world for medicine, and I feel like we're still doing the research to understand exactly what are the implications of these. So far, you know, studies, and there have been, you know, studies done of these medications, report that it's not uncommon for people to have side effects such as dizziness, sedation, and confusion. So for us in geriatrics, because we're often supporting people who have more vulnerable brains and bodies, either because they're, you know, getting into their 80s and 90s, or maybe they're younger, but, you know, even by the time you're in your 60s and 70s, brains and bodies are changing, we get concerned about that, right? Somebody who's already frail and, you know, maybe doesn't have great balance, is that going to increase their fall risk? It certainly sounds like it could. You should also know that, as far as I can tell, CBD can interact with some prescription drugs. I'm not so sure about like the other components in cannabinoids. It's another thing to consider. And then, you know, dizziness, sedation, confusion are short-term effects, but what are the impacts long-term on brain health, on your brain's resilience, on accelerating or decelerating any processes that you might have going on in there that are already affecting your brain? We don't know. The research is ongoing right now. Last but not least, the available products vary widely in potency and purity. And so that's the other reason that I personally am often hesitant to encourage people to go this route. So if you do want to explore this route, I would just encourage you to be careful. And you might possibly even be able to find a clinician who feels like they have lots of experience supporting people in this. And then I would let your regular health provider know and be ready to monitor carefully to see, is it having the effect you want it to have? And what are the side effects or impacts on you that you're noticing? So lastly, I want to finish with a few tips for managing pain in general, and that is to encourage you to think beyond drugs. If you are having ongoing pain, again, I encourage you to bring it up to your doctor to get help identifying underlying causes of pain, but also because your health provider should be able to help you look into non-drug treatments for pain. Our medical system is unfortunately very oriented towards helping doctors deliver prescriptions and prescription medications to people. We're fairly pill-oriented. And there's a role for medication, for sure. And there are lots of other therapies that we know often help people with pain. And all the best available evidence suggests that it's a kind of comprehensive approach that tends to be most effective and is often safest for older adults, because older adults are so likely to experience side effects from pain medications and other medications. So some non-drug treatments that you can consider: physical therapy is often very helpful. Massage, acupuncture seems to work well for some people. There's also, there are forms of cognitive therapy. Often people's experience of pain gets worse if they focus a lot on it or if they get anxious on it. There is definitely a brain-body connection. And if one's not careful, one can actually end up amplifying the pain signals. So cognitive therapies have been studied, especially when it comes to chronic pain, and have a role to play as well. And again, the advantage of these non-drug modalities is that they do tend to have a low risk of side effects. Now, people sometimes ask me, well, isn't there any prescription medication for pain that is safe for older adults? And generally, I had to say, not really. I mean, most of the ones that really work on pain affect brain function and potentially affect balance as well. So yes, there is a role for them sometimes to play, but we want to use them judiciously, ideally in the lowest doses necessary, and ideally in combination with other approaches that can also help make pain manageable. The other thing I tell people is that at a certain point, it's often not realistic to hope that somebody will be 100% pain-free. We're really trying to get the pain to be better and manageable. So that's what I have for you today about over-the-counter pain killers. So to recap, the safest over-the-counter pain killer for older adults is considered to be acetaminophen, brand name Tylenol. provided the daily dose doesn't exceed 3,000 milligrams per day. And I would aim for 2,000 milligrams per day if there are any concerns about liver function. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs, such as ibuprofen and naproxen, are risky for older adults when they're used daily or very frequently. Topical NSAIDs, such as diclofenac gel, are much safer than oral NSAIDs. You want to avoid the PM version of over-the-counter painkillers, and you want to let your health providers know if you're dealing with a chronic ache or pain and how you're self-treating so that they can help you understand what's causing the pain and help you look into other ways to manage it, including non-drug therapies. So with that, thank you so much for watching. And if you found this video podcast helpful, if you're here on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe. It does help more people find the channel. If you've been listening to the audio version on the podcast feed, please come and take a look at the video if you get a chance. You'll see my key points displayed on the screen. So thank you once again, and I look forward to seeing you all again on a future episode of the Better Health While Aging video podcast.